Intervju Radija Študent.
Drage poslušalke, predragi poslušalci, poslušate Radio Študent, z nami v studiju pa sta že Tomas Pridžan in Viveka Hawkins, člana zasedbe The Memorials, ki danes nastop v Gala Hali na Metelkovi. Hey guys, welcome to the studio.
Hey,
how you doing?
Yeah.
So you're on a quite long tour in Europe. We were just talking about it. How's the road been treating you?
It's been awesome. We've been dealing with a lot of craziness. You know, the shows have been always cool, but been going around and getting experience different countries and their way of doing things. We were in France and they don't have any toilet seats.
No.
But then we went to Italy and found out that they don't really have toilet seats either.
I don't think at the clubs they do.
Club bathrooms are horrible. They're fucking like next level scary.
But what's the best thing about touring?
I think the best thing about touring is getting to meet new people and new fans and getting to like trip out on the people who know your music in like super far places that are like, I want to hear this, you know?
Yeah, like they're singing the words and you know, it's like, how do you know this? Like, how did you find this? Like, thank you so much for showing up tonight, because like we had no idea that anybody, you know, if anybody would even come.
Okay. You know? So did you meet any cool bands?
Yeah.
Care to mention one?
Yeah, but I really don't know all their names.
I'm like Vanilla Skies, the homies in Rome. We just played with them.
A lot of the people that we met, we know them by what city we play with them in. So I remember we played with a really good band in France, and then we played with a Russian band in France, in a different part of France that was awesome, that I really dug, and they gave us a CD. We also got to play with Zex Marquise, which are friends from Mars Volta, and then we got to play with a band called Black Jesus that I didn't really hear much of them, but I just liked their name.
They were
Black Jesus.
It was random. A bunch of old white guys named Black Jesus.
Ah, okay.
I was like, okay.
Sounds like stoner music.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was random.
So it's been a few bands, but a lot of this run has been us playing by ourselves. It was another band in I want to say in Spain at the Hell Dorado. We played, that was pretty good. They played a lot of ska music, which was kind of cool to hear, because it's always trippy to see what kind of styles of music people pull out. So I was pretty digging that.
Okay, so a nice experience.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me, let's talk about the beginnings of the Memorials. You both went to the same college, Berklee College. You just told me it's a really great college. And that you really like their open-mindedness, but tell me, how did you meet? How did it all start to become a band?
Well, Thomas basically called me and was like, hey, wanna be in my band? And I was like, okay. And then he was like, I know this crazy guitar player. I used to play with him at Berklee, and I think it would be awesome if we all play together. And he went to this party in New York and ran into him like randomly, and it was just like, okay, I guess we're gonna do this, because it seems like it should happen, you know. And so we recorded our first record like from nothing. We had never played together. We didn't know, you know, what would happen if, you know, we just went in the studio and started making songs, and that was our you know, the Memorials record. And we basically recorded it in like a week, and you know, I did the vocals over like a few weeks after that. Like, I did a few songs at the first week, and then like, you know, we kept going. But we released it and played our first show, and soon after that, and it was just like, all right, like this is happening, you know. Like, we never had a clue as to whether it would work until we actually did it, you know. And it was basically just like something that popped up in his head, and he was like, I'm gonna make this manifest, you know, I'm gonna make this reality, because I want to do my own shit. So, you know, who better to do it with than my friends from school?
And it was, to clarify, we went to Berklee High School, which is like, you know, ninth grade to 12th grade, which is in Berklee, California. And then we also went to Berklee School of Music, which is in Boston.
Yeah.
And the Berklee College in Berklee, California is the super open-minded school. Same with the high school, you know, where Berklee School of Music, it was kind of surprising for me to see Viv there, because I was already there. And I met Nick because we were in a metal band there when, like, kind of like my last, you know, semester of school. We ended up doing two albums, but we never did a show together. So I remember, you know, just having a crazy dude on guitar. And I was like, man, I couldn't think of that many guitar players that lived in my area. You know, I could only think of this dude. I was like, this dude is the dude, you know? And so, you know, just calling him. And the way all of it worked out was not really something that I can really say was just my fault. It was like just happening and falling into place. And just after doing music, for me, I kind of knew what was going on as far as this genre and, you know, as far as the people who I know listen to it. So for me, it was more of a situation where I just wanted the music to get made so the people that I knew and the people that I knew about could hear it. And so we weren't really concentrating on how we were putting the music out as much as we were concentrating on doing it. And I knew that to play shows, we had to have something to sell. At least people were telling me that. And I honestly didn't want to do a lot of shows and have nothing that people could walk away with anyway. So we like super hustled and bustled getting the record out, the first record. And then we did a tour. Somebody hooked us up with a tour. We did this crazy tour in the States. And then we got home and we was like, let's record again. Because we wanted to actually do songs that complemented the songs that we love to play live. So we was like, let's make some more music to complement the show. So that's what Delirium was. And at first, Delirium started out as a 6-song album. And then we actually got a remix from a friend who's at home by the name of Mitchell Wilcox. And he's just like this crazy composer dude at home that plays drums. And he did a remix of a song called Dream, which is on our first record. And then and then we went in the studio another day and did this like super long dramatic song. And the record was really supposed to have strings on it, but like it was so many tracks trying to mix at home on my little Pro Tools rig that it just ended up being us just layering crazy sounds on top instead of adding, you know, extra musicians and stuff. So I don't know. I'm really proud of Delirium just because I feel like I really put my foot in it more than the first one, mainly because of time.
More refined. Yeah, we tried to focus and make sure that we kind of like, you know, just made it more
record.
Refined.
Yeah.
You know, like just like had more focus and weren't rushing so much, where we were just trying to get something out, do something. You know, make it done. Let's place. You know, let's play. We gotta have something to play. And this time it was like, you know, we wanna show people what we are and what we have to offer musically, vocally, you know, guitar wise, drum wise, you know, piano wise. Everybody that we got involved with the second album, we were very, you know, like particular, you know, bass, everything. Like we it wasn't just like, hey, are you in town? Can you come and do this? Like, it was like, really, like, I want this person to play this on this album.
Yeah, it was totally more strategically thought out. But we, like, did both records in about a good 2.5 years. It took us to do 2 records. And we don't have any record label or any weird
producer or anybody.
Like, yeah, we don't have any, like, major people helping us. Like, it's just mostly our friends and people that we know from town or people we know from just doing it who are like, you know, you want to mix the record? You know, they're like, yeah, hell yeah, we'll mix it. So I'm proud of it. I'm proud of everything we got going on, just for the simple fact of to get to go to Europe and to get to play. Like, we've done 3 tours in the States, and it's like our first tour in Europe. And just to be able to do that and not have any major push, not have no major distributor in Slovenia or in Italy, I think it's awesome. And it's even crazier when we see people at the shows, because we're like, you know, we're doing it by ourselves, where a lot of people at home don't even understand how to do this, you know, at home, much less go across the water, you know.
So the evolution was really fast.
Yeah, it was super
I guess
fast.
So.
2 records in 2 years.
Yeah, so.
We've been a band since
November 2009.
Yeah, we started recording the first record 2009, and we didn't really finish it until like
January 2010.
And so we put it out in like, I want to say, like, it was supposed to come out on my birthday.
November.
And then it ended up getting pushed back to February of 2011. And then we put the next one out June of our
2012.
Yeah, June or 2012. So it's kind of been like 2 records, and, you know, we recorded them, but they kind of came out in a year apart. So, yeah, it's kind of freaky for most people to grasp how fast we do a lot of things we're doing, but I'm really excited, and like I'm thankful for like everything that's ever happened to me, because I feel like it's kind of totally led to what's going on now, is even as far as me being able to understand what's going on. Because like, you know, if we came here and I never did a lot of things, I wouldn't understand what was going on. While a lot of things that are happening as far as like being at different kind of venues and dealing with the culture differences and language barriers and traveling with like a million people and like being around crazy backstages with no toilets. Like, I was kind of...
After we ate shitty food.
Yeah, it's kind of like, made this thing not as bad as it might be to other people.
but explain to me this. You're a quite well-known drummer.
Yeah.
Like, you played with Mars Volta, Omar Rodriguez Lopez, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So you actually did that before, traveling around and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Where was this urge to make your own band?
Well, in the Mars Volta, it was awesome to be involved with the Mars Volta. I learned a lot, like, as far as, like, recording and what was going on with the business, and I totally learned a lot. The main thing I learned about it is that in like all over the world, I'm noticing that pop music reigns supreme. You know what I'm saying? It's like people want to hear Four on the Floor, ooch, ooch, every goddamn song. And for me, it just kind of like took me out of the space of thinking that everybody liked it. You know, and especially in the States as a musician, or anywhere as a musician, it's like you always have the struggle of doing what you actually feel and want to do, and then thinking about what's on every
radio,
you know. Yeah. So it's like, for me, I just started after the Mars Volta, even during it, I just saw that I could totally go left and it would work, you know. And a lot of people, you know, even while doing this, these records didn't really even understand it. You know, they didn't really get it, what I was seeing. And so for me, after the Mars Volta, it was mostly like, I have all these friends who have all this talent, and then they go and play for Beyonce. And then it's like, or they go and strive to play for Jay-Z or something. And it's like, why not use all this talent and all this practicing and all this going to Berklee School of Music and all these technical abilities to actually create something that's awesome?
First. And new, and not just like help carry on the career of somebody who's getting old and who you can, yeah, sure. like how it's like, why not?
Basically playing music to make money. Basically, why do that when you have all this talent? Like, you could do it to make money, but you could also make money doing
make
what
history.
You love to do. Like,
yeah.
Where, you know, I always use the analogy of the painter who's like Picasso, but he's like painting apples for Hilton. You know what I'm saying? So every Hilton has his perfectly painted apple, you know what I'm saying, and his own talent that he's been developing is kind of like pushed to the back burner for the money that Hilton is giving him, you know. So I just didn't really think about it, and just like, this is what I'm doing, you know. And even now I look back and I didn't even think about it, and we're looking at Areolas and you don't see it, but I'm seeing Areolas.
But is the Memorials now your main band for all of you, or are you still having other projects beside it?
No, it's the main band. We get called to do different things. Like, Viv just wrote a song for Guapule, which is a major girl where we live at, you know. And she's like, you know, she's like a... Not she's like a soul artist or whatever, and Viv is like an awesome writer, and I knew that when we got into this situation that she could totally write pretty much to anything, and at least that's what I, you know, I've always thought, even if she probably didn't think it. I always thought she could write to anything, and so she's writing songs for artists, and then I have other projects that, you know, where it'll be like, you know, let's put an all-star band together. So I'm doing things like that, and I'm working on some stuff with other people. But this has been like the main thing I've been trying to do. And even like with other things that I do, like, you know, I'll go and play my friend Thundercat, and, you know, maybe we play Slovenia and he has a radio interview, I'll still get your information. So maybe my band can come back, because, you know, I love to do that and support my friends, but I also want to like be able to do my own thing, because that was the whole point in starting the band. It's like,
yeah, sure.
So I could like do my own thing. So I take it with a grain of salt, man. You know, I go to places and I'm like, oh man, we went to this place, we could totally do it. And then a lot of times I go and do stuff with other people, and my band fits in more perfectly than the band I'm actually playing with at that at that certain venue. And so it's like, this is weird. So I get to learn, you know, I think with this situation, I get to learn certain things that I wouldn't learn while doing other projects. While, and then vice versa, when I do other projects, I learn a lot too. I'm like, man, this was crazy, you know, I'm never gonna do that. Like,
but is it, you mentioned you don't have a record label, like a major one and stuff like that. Is it hard for you? I guess it's easier now, but was it hard to start like again, because you could all play for, I don't know, Jay-Z's and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, at the same time, it's like, I mean, I could totally go do that, but I just feel like, do I really want to? Like, is that like what my life's goal is to be? Like, is my life's goal?
And anything worth having is worth working hard for, you know? Like, if he didn't have a real desire to have his own band and do his own thing, like, you know, he wouldn't keep doing it, you know? And like, yeah, it's hard for us to, like, you know, start from scratch and for him to have picked people who are nobody.
Who don't necessarily know certain things.
Yeah, like, you know, he could have picked anybody, you know? It could have been an all-star band, you know? But instead, he wanted to have something that was new and fresh, and so, you know, it's like, it's hard, but it's totally worth the hard work.
I think the only thing that that doesn't make it super hard is that, you know, people know me, and then the fact that the music is really good. Like, people can know me, and if the music sucked, it wouldn't matter. So, like, the music being really good and, like, trying to, like, you know, showcasing people that, you know, it's not a lot of black women singing rock, period. So to go and you have, like, people that don't have a voice inside that genre or that side, or even in music, period. It's like very little real music going on, period. And the real music that's going on is getting pushed under the sheets all the time. So, you know, having something that's real and having people who aren't necessarily getting to have a voice, and, you know, it's making a lot of paths and a lot of ways a lot easier than it would be for other people who are trying to do the cliche, I'm rapping, or, you know, I'm doing reggae. You know, you kind of put yourself in a box where, in this situation where we're like all over the map, we like could do a total hip hop track and then go do a reggae tune, or do a rock tune that goes into a reggae part, you know, and just, you know, not really define anything, which is making this cool too, because I think people are tired of being defined.
Okay, so Memorials wants to be remembered by their own sounds and their own music.
Hence the name.
I mean, that's pretty much what it is.
Cool. Okay, I can see we could talk for an hour here, okay, but we have to finish. So last question, what's the next best big thing for Memorials? I saw you're making an Australian tour, Japan tour, and stuff like that.
Yeah, right now we're like talking to a couple people about doing Japan. And then that person about Japan was like, you guys doing Australia? And then
somebody was like, oh, you want to do Australia? And then they're like, you want to do New Zealand? Taipei? Like, and it just gets bigger and bigger.
So we're trying to link this weird thing up. Really, my whole goal is to, like, be able to just play everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, right now, we know we can go play the States, you know? But we also know that certain times in the States, people just don't go to shows. Like, in the summertime, pretty much everybody leaves Middle America and travels, you know? And in Australia, our summertime is their winter. And in our winter is their summer.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it's winter and it's super cold, nobody wants to drive, like, 30 degrees lower than whatever. So we want to go to Australia where it's hot, you know? Yeah, so I'm just trying to figure out how to continue to balance the whole, make records, play here, play here, play here, and not kill everybody, and figure out how to make money so we can live, basically.
So we're working on trying to find some good distribution on this side of the world, and like in Asia and Australia, and just like hopefully do some more physical releases, because we haven't necessarily done that on this side. And then like possibly work on a new record. But at this point, we have two, you know, records full of songs that we can put together and play over, you know, 2-hour set. And it's like, you know, right now we just need to keep playing and keep getting our name out there so that we actually have some kind of like good foundation to build this next record on and not go broke and not fucking starve and shit.
Cool. Okay, I wish you luck with it.
Thank you.
So thanks for coming and see you at the
show
tonight.
Now tell them where we playing at.
Yeah, I will. Right. And in Slovenia.
Yeah.
Torej, Gala Hala danes The Memorial, z mano sta bila Tomas Pričan pa Viveka Hawkins. V Gali Hali pa danes nastop New Band, v katerem ste zdaj le poslušali. Karte so po 10 evrov, vrata se odpre ob 9, pa le prite pogledat, o čem ste govorili.
Whatever he said.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Shut
Intervju Radija Študent.